Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And we're on Long Island News Radio, 103.9 FM, and we're talking to Bob Shartuck. He is a political activist, advisor. He's been advising campaigns for about 31 years, and he's been our guest today. We talked about several aspects of being a candidate and running for office and what you need to do to prepare yourself mentally for it. But one of the things you need to do is manage. You need to manage a campaign. Now, Bob, you have some real delineated advice on that, don't you?
Well, depending on the office you're running for, even if it is the library board or the town board or county legislator, you're going to be managing things. You're going to manage your own staff. You're going to be managing a budget. I think the county budget is in the billions. So you're going to be part of a management team. And quite frankly, if you can't manage your campaign, how can the voters expect you to manage the office once you get in there?
Well, you know, when I was in the insurance business, I didn't really manage my business. I had an office manager, and she had an idea of what I wanted to accomplish. And then, can we do that in politics too? Say, listen, these are the people I want to contact. These are the groups that are influential that will help me get to where I want to be. Or do you have to be more specific?
Well, there's the old saying, an attorney who has himself as a client has a fool for a client. Same thing goes with candidates, but it gets real interesting because let's say you were running for the legislature, Ernie. It's your butt on the line. So you want to be calling the shots. You want to be involved in every aspect. But when you're managing a big operation, a campaign or a team, you have a campaign manager, you have a secretary, you have a treasurer, you're going to have to start to yield some of the authority. So that's when some managerial skills come into play. And like you said, you want to set the tone. You want to give the direction of the campaign, and then you want to let your managers get out there and do what they need to do to get you elected.
Yeah. Well, my attitude in selling insurance was that I was good talking to people face-to-face, and I was knowledgeable of the coverages and things like that. But as far as marketing the business, that was probably better off left to somebody else.
Yep, and there's a lot of logistics involved. Just sending out a mailing. You know, you have to write it. Probably you and a couple other people want to read it and approve it. You want to get it printed. You have to get it over to the post office. You have to know the postage and who you're going to send it to. And that gets into database management, particularly when raising money. Who are you going to ask for money? Who are you going to ask to vote for you? You have to acquire those lists. Put those lists together over the lifetime of a career. Somebody who's been in office 10, 15, 20 years should have a very powerful database of voters that they've helped and people that are going to give them money. And you have
I'm
to
wondering
manage
if
that.
There's a contradiction here, because you said that you have to manage this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have to be able to delegate this campaign.
Right.
Because you can't do it all.
Yeah.
Is there any contradiction there, or is that just a matter of degree of where you are?
Yeah, it kind of boils down to the personality. You know, are you a good manager? Will your people follow you, and are you clear enough in what you want them to do? And, of course, there's been a lot of cases where the campaign manager or the treasurer fouled up, and it made the candidate look bad, and in some cases it cost them the election.
Let's suppose you have a whole lot of ideas on how this office shall be executed once you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Should that knowledge be embedded in the thinking of the staff?
Yeah, it should start with the campaign. And you'll see in a lot of cases, most recently, Lee Zeldin ran successfully for Congress, and a lot of people he had on his Senate staff and who also worked on his campaign are now on his congressional staff. So the campaign is definitely a training ground and a breeding ground for the staffers you're going to rely on and hire once you get elected.
I was thinking about how do you take a pundit or somebody who is knowledgeable of campaigns like yourself, and how much rein should you have? Because I've seen campaigns destroyed by the people who are supposed to be advising them.
Oh yeah,
you know sometimes you know one of the. Romances that people had with Governor Christie was that he was authentic. All right? He probably could have taken a little advice.
Mm-hmm.
But that idea is still good, that mm-hmm. you're authentic, you mm-hmm. know? You don't have to be crass and crude, but right. you could still be authentic. You could say you could confront me with a position that I've taken, and I say, "Well, Bob, I thank you for your point, but it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely wrong, and here's why."
Mm-hmm.
And if that kind of directness is a little offensive to people, it's very attractive to others. You know, it's like I didn't roll over because you said something. You know, because if you roll over, you go to the countryside and you tell the wheat farmers we're going to get more money for the wheat, and you go to the bakers and you tell them you're going to get more money for the bread. Well, you can't do both.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought up Chris Christie. He's an excellent example for this discussion. Great candidate. Like you said, he's brash and he was himself and clearly spoken. But then his staff got him in a whole host of trouble, as you know, with the Bridgegate.
Do you believe that?
Well, right now, it's the staff took the hit. You know, I don't know if he threw them under the bus, whether or not he directed Bridgegate, but he's still the governor, and the people that were on his staff, who presumably worked on the campaign and he hired, they're gone. So, yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Bridgegate.
Well, I don't believe that you have such a strong personality like that, and then you have people who, go off the reservation. You know, they don't go off the reservation. Mm-hmm. They do what has been deemed to be okay.
Right.
And that's, now, that could be wrong, but that's my opinion, and that's what you asked me for, not anything else.
Right.
I don't have the facts, and no one does. But, I believe that you set the tone. You know, people would call up the office and they'd be angry about something and they'd be abusive to the women on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you don't have to be abusive back. You say, mm-hmm. Mr. Fazio will talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell him, sometimes I would tell him, I run a very smooth operation here and people are very competent.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's mistakes made, I apologize. But if you're very unhappy, I will ship off all your papers to the new broker that you select.
Yep.
And that would be, that's a very positive thing in the end. People don't usually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll say, send it over to Ajax. They're my new brokers now. But you knew, if that happens, you knew that was going to happen anyway. You know? Mm-hmm. So you have to be a leader in that regard and not throw your people under the bus.
Yeah. Well, you set the tone for your office and you set the tone for your campaign, and that starts early on. You have to be very careful who you choose, and it gets real interesting. There's been campaigns that the campaign manager left in the middle of the campaign. You know, there was a falling out. They couldn't see eye to eye. And where do you think that campaign manager went? He probably went right over to the opposition and started working for them. I've seen it.
Well, so, at this point, you have a lot of information, too.
Absolutely. You know the sore points, and you know how to hit them where it hurts. So picking your staff, whether it be in business or in a campaign, in government office, you have to be very careful.
And be kind to your staff, too, because if you have to fire somebody in business, what we did was we had a little celebration. I want to thank Bob for being on the staff. He did so many good things, and he's looking to be, and I'd make up a story, he's looking for better opportunities, and we wish him well and have a cake and some refreshments and let you walk out with your head high.
Exactly. Great point. Kind to your staff. And on an election, you have a lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
You have people coming off the street. You know, I'm a Democrat, and I've been involved in Democrat, issues my whole life, and I want to work on your campaign. Great. Glad to have you. That person's going to work above and beyond, and you have to be nice to them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Oh, by the way, the interesting thing about doing that, and we, in the space of, over years, mm-hmm. it happened a few times. What happens is the rest of the staff know the story. They know that you're doing this as a kind of a charade,
mm-hmm.
but you're letting people leave with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that if they screw up and they get fired, they're not going to be embarrassed or lambasted, seeing out the door with a security guard.
Yeah, you have to treat people with respect, and it pays off in an election because you have volunteers, and you want those people to get out there and work hard for you and get yourself elected.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio at 103.9. And I want to thank Bob Chartok for being here today. We're going to have one more segment on this, and we'll be back in a few minutes. But just in closing, Bob, give me two things that you should be telling your staff.
Your staff, treat other people with respect. Don't get so serious that you bring any of your own personal anger issues into it. And always act as if you're representing the candidate.
And stop smoking that stuff you've been smoking.
Yeah, that would help.
Thank you, Bob.